Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to this morning's guest. Now, this back again, obviously, with the We Are Women podcast. And this morning, I'm speaking with Jennifer Gale. Now, Jennifer is the brainchild behind the business Fit and 50 Plus. Now, she's pretty proud of the fact that she is definitely over 50, has a passion for helping other women and to help them find good health and fitness so that they can feel fabulous and fully participate in their lives. Jennifer has had a long career, starting as a registered nurse and intensive care and coronary qualifications, moving through to be a hospital chief executive. Wow.
Yep.
So the boss.
The boss.
But she decided at the age of 50 to become an amateur triathlete. But to do so, you had to learn to ride and swim.
Yeah.
Yet they are pretty important factors when you're doing triathlons.
They are. Running just won't cut it in the water.
And Jennifer has a Master's of Science, and she is an accomplished international speaker and researcher and a certified wellness coach and the author of the soon-to-be-released, I know this has been your baby, Fit and 50 Plus, How to Get Fit and Stay That Way, Everything You Always Wanted to Know But Were Afraid to Ask. Going to be very interested to hear more about that. So as a mature woman, she knows that it can be difficult to find information on all the little things that help you exercising, eating well, and feeling fantastic about who you are. And that's where 50 Plus comes in, and Jennifer's providing specialist tips. You say that really quickly. Tips, tricks, and tools to help you stay fit and get fit and stay that way. So welcome, Jennifer. I'm really pleased to be able to speaking with you this morning. We've been having so many conversations over the last 12 months, and now we're finally here doing this interview. So, look, you know, a person that loves to keep fit and healthy, but I know it's hard to get motivated. What switched you from, you know, the being in the health industry in a formal way in hospitals into, you know, what you're doing now? What's your big why?
Well, I am my triathlon journey is probably part of the why. I've always been very interested in being fit and healthy. I mean, I spent 10 years doing cardiac rehab, so, you know, you can't really stand up and tell people what to do and not do it yourself. So I did spend a long time being very fit and healthy. And then over my life, of course, like most women, it's kind of had its ebbs and flows. You know, things get in the way, you put some weight on, you don't do this, you don't do that. And particularly as an executive and a mother, it's really easy to put everything else first. And, you know, to feel guilty if you put yourself first. But when I was 50, and the reason I did the triathlon was that my husband got really, really sick, and he actually nearly died. And he had quite a long period of time where he's on some very high-dose drugs that changed his personality. Oh, my goodness, that was an interesting time.
Oh, for the better, are you saying?
No, they were already high dose cortisone can make you a little psychotic.
Oh, right. Okay.
He's really someone who's very, he's very much a doer and a goer. So when he got really sick, it kind of made me realize that your life can actually change in one moment, that it's not something that is like a marathon. Your life can just change from, you know, well to ill, alive to dead in 1 second. And our life changed dramatically, really dramatically. And, you know, he had a 50% chance of sudden death for a whole year.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was quite, you know, distressed by that. And it made me really reflect. And I think a lot of that happens to a lot of people, particularly women, made me reflect on all of the things that I hadn't done that I'd always wanted to do, and why on earth hadn't I done them? And one of the things I'd always wanted to do was a triathlon. But when triathlons came into their own, I had babies and I always thought, oh, I could never do that, you know, I don't have time and et cetera, et cetera. And I thought to myself, well, why not give it a go?
Yeah.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? There's never going to be a right time. Why don't you do it now? Why don't you set yourself up and do it? And the other really good thing about that was because I had to learn to ride, my husband had been a really good bike rider in his youth, and so he could actually teach me to ride. So it gave him something to focus on as well.
Yeah.
So, and that was the beginning of this particular business. It was really a journey. I didn't have a coach. I had a person who taught me how to swim. I used to ride with my friends after Ray taught me how to ride. Used to ride with my friends. And the journey of learning how to be a triathlete at 50 plus was just amazing because everything's geared towards younger women. The training plans, the clothes, everything is geared towards younger women. And I also found there was very little female-specific information as well. So, I mean, that's one of the things in my book, Everything You Wanted to Know But Were Afraid to Ask. And one of the things that really bothered me during my training was, this is very personal, was when you ride your bike, and in triathletes you actually ride your bike a little bit differently because you don't want to tire out your leg muscles, so your seat fits a bit differently. And you kind of lean a bit harder on your pubis than you normally would. And it took me a long time to figure out that you actually have to wax down there.
Right. Okay.
Well, but there was no one to ask.
Good.
There
that was no one of the takeaways from today.
You guess it just is so much less painful.
That's good to know. I won't probably need to do that for my RPM classes, but
no, probably not. No, but when you're in a saddle for 3 hours, you know, and there were little things like that. Like, do you wear your bra when you're doing your triathlon? Because you start out swimming. But then what do you do? You know, like, all right, on the bike, but when you run, and what kind of bra? Where do you get the bra from? What are you looking for? They're like, there was nothing. It was really hard, and very few women of my age doing it in those days. Like, this is 6 years ago. It's a lot more now. But, you know, even so, there's probably only 6 or 7 women doing them, and you never really got to meet them unless you were doing a competition, and then you only had a little while. So that kind of that journey, if you like, kind of set me off. And what used to happen was people used to come and say, oh, I hear you're doing this. Oh, I'm just wondering, do you know about this and can you help me with this? And so many people I just gave those little pieces of information to go, make sure you go and get a bra. These are the best ones. This is the best place to buy it. If you want to get your shoes, this is the way to do it. You know, just little things.
Imagine the training regime was so different when you're over 50 than when you're 20 as well.
Well, the thing that you really have to understand is you have to learn how to listen to your body. Because for so many years, and for most women, we don't really listen to our bodies, because what happens is we're so busy doing things, we just want to get the task done. And so you feel tired, but you keep on going until you're actually exhausted. When you do triathlons, you have to learn to listen to your body, otherwise you just crash.
Yeah,
absolutely. And your training has to be just a little bit longer. You know, you can't do a 6-week learn to run 5Ks. It has to be 10 weeks. I have this great aversion to being injured, you see. I can't bear being injured, and I will do anything to not be injured. And that's really what I've learned, is how to listen to your body enough and how to adapt your program so that you don't get injured and that you can enjoy yourself. So that's what set me off on this journey. And I felt so well when I was doing it. I just felt so well. It was amazing.
Yeah. I'm just sort of focusing on a couple of those particular points too, about not being injured, because I think that's something that people worry about as well, is especially if you're starting out an exercise, it hurts. To start with,
it does.
It will hurt, but being able to do it really smart so that, and as you know, that's been a passion of mine for, you know, 30 yeah. years as well. And now carrying a lot of injuries from those days of mad days of teaching aerobics, mm-hmm. that now that, you know, I'm well over 50 as well, that you, everything hurts a bit. So you just want to make sure that you do it at a level, because obviously the women that you're working with, not everyone wants to be a triathlete,
no.
but they want to be fit and healthy and well and do it so that they can maintain, and that's, I know that's what your passion, so they can maintain it as a lifestyle yeah. rather than just a, you know, set a New Year's resolution and get fit.
Yeah, it's it is, and there are the other thing that is one of my passions is I really love research. I really love the science behind exercise and exercise physiology. I'm a bit of a nerd around anatomy and physiology, really. So, and I love to understand what the differences are as you get older in terms of your physiology. And there's some really fantastic research only now coming out about mature athletes. And not so much about women, but I've been able to extrapolate it out a little bit more now than ever before. But there's some fantastic research about how much you actually need to do and the level of intensity you need to have in order to get fit. And really, we've been doing it wrong for so long. It's really not as hard as we think it should be. But
it's good to know. And that's what you work personally with personal clients now too. That's
I do. Yeah.
Business. So, yeah. So that's the beauty of doing that type of research as well, is they're getting somebody who has not only trained to be that type of athlete, but now continues to, you know, find out the best information and maintain it. So
and there aren't too many personal trainers with such a science physiology background. Mm. Exercise physiologists are probably the closest kind of people, but generally are quite young.
Yes.
Yeah. I love exercise physiologists.
My trainer this morning at the gym, she's been a school teacher, so I think she might be mid-20s, you know, but she's now doing exercise physiology. And that was her first of four cycle classes for the day. Okay, I'm done.
The
45
right.
minutes was enough for me.
Yeah, and I just love the science of it, and I think the science is, I think it's really important for women to understand their bodies because my belief is that once you understand something, you can actually use it and adapt it and learn it and incorporate it into your day-to-day life if you understand it. If you're just told what to do, yeah, you can do that for a while, but if you truly understand it, you can then modify it and make it your own. Mm.
Mm. And that's that's what happens with long-term then, isn't it? That's what makes you stay at it longer term.
That's right. It just helps you make better decisions, I think. I mean, education is vital in no matter what you're doing, but I think actually understanding your body and how it reacts and what the reason, why do you do it this way and not this way makes a big difference to people and they're more inclined to keep it up.
Now, getting started is sometimes the hardest thing for people, isn't it? So
it is.
Tell me about, you know, someone's coming along to you and they've say, Jennifer, I've just have never exercised and now I've sort of made a commitment to myself to be healthy. Where do they start? What do they do?
Okay. So the first thing I do is I take them through a health assessment. Really just what I find that does is it gives me a whole lot of information, which is very useful, but it also helps the client or the woman actually think about their health. And I find that when people who don't do that never continue, but the people who do that at the end of that process, because it's quite long, they then realise just really where they are and how unfit they actually are. Usually I look for something that they like. We try and work on what are your long-term goals? What do you really want? You know, do you want to become a triathlete? Some people do, not many. But what do you really want? Because my aim is to find something that you love that you will continue to do. And if that's walking, that's walking.
Yes.
But when you're just walking, you need to add weights. So I take people on a journey, if you like. It's really a journey of self-discovery around what do you love, what makes you feel good, what's really good for your body. And everybody is different. Mm. And I'd say that's the one, that's the big difference between myself and other online programs, coaches, whatever, is that I work one-on-one with people. It's very bespoke. So one person might be doing yoga twice a week and some weights other times. Someone else might be just going to the gym, mm. just. Yeah. Someone else might be running.
Yes.
It just, it's really dependent. And because I work with you for that closely, we can actually adapt and change, and I can explain what's happening, and we can modify, you know, show you some different stretches to do for that particular part of what's aching, whatever it might be. So it is hard to get started. The biggest fear people have is of looking stupid,
hmm.
of looking stupid at the gym, of looking stupid while they're out. It's, for women over 50, that's one of the biggest fears that I feel. And that
so
they
how
often
do they overcome that?
It's really just about coaching them. Mm-hmm. About, you know, I talk about how don't worry about everyone in the gym looking at you. They're just as scared as you are, really.
I think that's one of the big learning curves with anything in life, isn't it? Is that yeah. everybody's so wrapped up in themselves that they really don't notice you and don't care about you because they're so busy being concerned about themselves.
That's right.
And that's really important learning, though, isn't it? Going,
it is.
Really? You can just go and do what you're doing then.
Who cares? I mean, I talk very flippantly about going to the gym and things like that because for me now it's just, you know, I just muscle in on the young fellas. Like I don't take any rubbish from them. But it took me a long time to understand what they were really doing. It wasn't about me. It was about them.
Yeah, and those mirrors.
Oh, they love the mirrors. I don't love mirrors, but I've learnt to live with them, I guess. But, yeah, it's about, and part of that feeling comfortable is actually wearing the right gear and feeling comfortable in the right gear, finding the right gear.
Yeah.
You know, that is often one of the hardest things for women over 50, finding a T-shirt or a top that you feel good in.
Mm.
You know, some with sleeves, something that's not too tight, something that's going to do the right job for you so that's not made of cotton, and a lot of women don't understand that. Mm. You know, why can't I just wear my cotton T-shirt? Well, there's a good reason why you shouldn't. Like all of those things, I actually take my clients through the whole process, wearing the right socks, the shoes, you know.
And I'm assuming all of that information is going to be in your book as well.
Oh. Yes.
Excellent. Because it where is, are you based?
180 pages of it.
Where are you based, Jennifer?
I'm based in Brisbane.
Yeah.
But I have clients all around the world. So.
All right. So you work obviously on Skype with the international
work on Skype.
So we're not just talking locality.
No.
You're able to do that anyway.
I thought
I better qualify that now. People are thinking, well, where can we go, you know, to.
Yes. I'm happy to work with people one-on-one that are nearby, but I work with most of my women on Skype. And I find that talking, you know, just having a weekly accountability session with me where we go through what they've been doing, et cetera, is actually enough. Most people are much more motivated to do it themselves if they're actually doing it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you talked about the reasoning behind it. I think that's the most valuable, isn't it? My husband, I've been – we could use the word encouraging or we could use the word nagging. It just depends on
nagging.
Which perspective you're standing from. To exercise over the years. And he's gone through fits and starts and he's back on a fitness regime at the moment. And it's to do with a heart condition that he realizes that it got fixed and he needs to work on. But the same thing happened a couple of years ago and he didn't make any
men are very different to women,
but having grandchildren is making a big difference to him as well.
Yes.
And being able to be physically there for them as well is really something that's for him that's become one of his whys as well as the health thing. So yes, as you said, finding out what is going to motivate somebody to start and then to continue is. And once you continue, you know, you just feel good. Once people get to that stage, they know that you just feel good when you exercise.
It's just, you know, it's really just about setting a habit, just getting into the habit of getting up and going and doing what you need to do. If you're not someone who's incredibly self-motivated, then habitual practice is an absolute must. I mean, for me, I love the habit of getting up at 5 a.m., but, you know, it doesn't matter if I don't, because I know I have to do, like I said to you yesterday, I have to go to the gym. Yes. That's it. Yes. It's part of today. Doesn't matter if it's 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going. But that's taken me a long time to get to that point in my life, and, like, I'm very focused on that. But men are very different to women. Having spent 10 years in cardiac rehab, their triggers, their motivations are so different. They are so much easier to tell what to do.
Okay, so that's a point too, and you're working with your women, that is really much more important to find out, because as you said right at the beginning, that women put themselves last a lot of the time. And it's and I see that all the time, and I say to people, what do you do for yourself? Well, so women, what do you do for yourself? And usually it's a dumbfounded look going, I don't know, I don't do anything for myself. And being fit and healthy is one of the most vital things, isn't it?
Absolutely. The thing that really distresses me more than anything else is women over 50 who cannot do what they want to do because they're not healthy. Like, you know, I'm a very fit person. I know that. But I've worked really hard to be fit. But lots of people I know who can't walk with me to the ferry terminal.
Oh. Yes.
Like, you know, and you think, I'm going out to lunch with this person, I need to make sure there's no steps, or, you know, we can't do this, and this. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is the saddest thing, because this part of your life is when, for most of us, not everyone, for most of us, our responsibilities are diminishing to other people. Mm-hmm. And it's a time when you should be able to enjoy everything and do the things you want to do. And if you are not healthy and well, then you can't. You can't go on a walking tour.
No.
Can't walk.
I was just thinking of that, just not even something as physical as a walking tour, just travel. I mean, I travel a lot overseas, and so many times the people that I'm traveling with can't participate in everything that's going on because it's just too physically demanding. And it's not much at all. As you're saying, it's nearly sometimes as easy as walking to the end of the, you know, wandering through the little towns, and it just becomes too much for them, and they miss out on so many opportunities. So,
that's right. And just being able to walk to the park and play with your grandchildren, playing ball with your grandchildren, that's really important. But if you can't do that, then you miss out on a whole lot of things. And, yeah, it feels like a really big journey when you start. I mean, some people really are in a bad space, but it doesn't take very long before you start to feel better.
Yeah. And do you find that the people who, I mean, it sounds like a silly question, but the people who do really commit to it obviously get fitter quicker, but it's the mindset is the more important than the physical outcome?
Yeah, I think my aim is for people to be as healthy and fit as they can be, but to feel amazing. And it's the feeling that I really want to work on, that feeling of being well, that feeling of being in control, that feeling of having choices about and being able to make a healthy choice is really important. Yeah, you're right. People are really, really motivated people, really at the first opportunity when they start to feel well, you've just got to kind of grab it and keep them feeling like that, that little high, if you like. And it doesn't take much. It's just setting very small goals rather than, you know, 5K is a great goal, but this week I actually just really want to exercise 3 days. And just walk 3 days. I'm going to get up. I'm going to go 3 days this week. I'm going to do a half-hour walk. That's a major achievement for some people.
Yes.
And just those little milestones, just those achievements will keep people going.
I actually had a conversation with somebody yesterday who was going to do a course, but it has never studied at all. And I said, there's a good chance you won't be successful because they actually don't do little achieving things on a daily basis and don't know how to do that. So I said it, and I gave her that example that it's like trying to go out and run a marathon without having done all the training beforehand and training the brain for it. And it's the same with what you're talking about is, and the expectation that you're going to be able to do something quickly when you haven't done it before, it turns people off, doesn't it? They get disappointed, and then it's because they're not getting the results that they're looking
for. That's right. And I think a lot of the training programs are aimed at younger women. I mean, in front of me, I've got a women's health training guide, and, you know, there wouldn't be a woman over 21 in there. They've all got bikinis on. And, you know, if you're faced with that, then you're always going to be disappointed because you're not going to look like that when you're over 50. You physically can't. Your physiology won't let you unless you go and get work.
that's exactly – or you have done that your entire life.
My life. And you've just been blessed with good genes.
Yes.
It's very unusual. I mean, you can, but, you know, the cost of that is quite high. And to start doing that when you're over 50, when your estrogen's, dropping, and so therefore your collagen's dropping, and so your recovery times are longer and a whole lot of other things that happen to you, it just takes longer.
And knowing that going in is
makes
vital.
A big difference.
It does. And that's the difference of having somebody who understands that age group and understands women in that age group. It's it can be. I've got friends that stop and start all the time that because it's just frustrating for them.
And the other thing I've learned as well is that most people do a weekly training plan. So say you're doing, you want to run five, well, stick with a 5K theme. You know, it's 7 days, this day you do this, this day you do that. Well, for a woman over 50, that actually doesn't work really well. Because your recovery periods are so much longer. So what I do is I try and plan for a whole year. So I'm doing a triathlon, I've got a whole year planned out. But a 7-day plan generally won't work. So what I say to people is if you want to follow a 7-day plan, don't follow it 7 days. Just put the whole, whatever it is, 46 days down. And if you're tired, you don't do it that day. You just go for a walk. Because particularly if you're talking about adding weight, so if you're learning to run and you need to do some body weight training to strengthen your muscles, because you do, it can make you get much more fatigued as an older woman, and that's about recovery time. And if you try to push it, that's when you get injured.
And then that's part of not just the injury, but it's part of that feeling, that guilt too, isn't it?
Oh, yes, oh, absolutely.
I should have
done that. So give yourself a break. And if you're doing a plan that's got, 28 days, lay the 28 days down. And if you need a day off, have a day off, and then just do the day the next day.
Yes.
You know, it's as simple as that. But people get really caught up with, on Wednesdays I do this and on Thursdays I do that, which when you're younger is probably easier to do because you're working and you've got all these other things around you. But as you get older, you don't actually need to do that. No one's going to give you a B grade because you did Tuesday on Wednesday.
That's a good example of that. Look, and talking about, people's reasoning behind it, I know a lot of women I know having a photo taken is their biggest, one of their biggest fears, and they're just not comfortable with who they are and how they feel.
Yep.
Now, I'm, as I said, I've been saying I'm fit, but I'm not a size 10 by any means.
Neither am I.
You know, it just is, feeling fit and healthy and well can be a different thing than how you look as well.
Yes.
But you can feel good about yourself no matter.
Yes.
No matter
what. Yeah. I say to people, I'm a very fit person. I can do 40 push-ups. I'm a very fit person. But sometimes I look fat to me, Some days I'm just feeling fat, and I sometimes look like a normal 57-year-old woman. But the expectation when you start to become fit and healthy is that you will look like the 21-year-old in a bikini. And we get so many of those images flashed at us that when we get to take the picture and we look at it, and I think women over 50 grew up in an era where image was everything. How you looked, how you're dressed. I mean, I certainly feel that for me and the people I talk with. And so not to look like that and that period of learning to look older is really tough. But you know what? If you don't have your photo taken, then you're not part of your children and your grandchildren's memories.
Yeah, that's a very good point, isn't it?
And there are whole years in my life where I never had my photo taken.
Wow, okay.
I actually learned how to use a camera, bought a new camera so I wouldn't have to have my photo taken. This is so sad.
It certainly is. Yeah,
and there's thousands of women out there like that.
And I hadn't ever thought about that for those next generations coming up. They go, you know, that's what, remember what grandma looked like. It's,
where is she? You know, and if you don't like the way you look, do something about it.
Mm.
You know, go and get different clothes, go and get some help. If it's really that bad, get some help. Get, you know, work on your own mind. There are so many things you can do if you really don't like the way you look. There is always something you can do, and sometimes it's just your mindset.
Yes. And I know part of the thing that you like to focus on too is asking people what makes them happy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most important thing, to be happy.
Yeah. How often do you find that women go?
98% of my clients hate the way they look.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be one that's ever come to me and said, I'm really happy with the way I look. Actually, I wouldn't mind finding a woman that says that. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But at the end,
yes,
they can see, and it's not the way they look, it's the way they glow.
Mm.
So if you look fit and healthy, you look fit and healthy from your eyes and your face and your skin glows.
And
you hold yourself different. Hold yourself differently, you walk differently because your musculature is supported better, so you stand straighter, your clothes, even if you're not, you know, a size 10, you still look better because of the way in which your skeleton is held together, and that's really what it's about.
Yeah. And it's that energy. You called it a glow as well, the energy that people exude when they that they have. It's not just exude it. They have that level of energy about themselves that they feel like, you know, that feeling of being able to take on the world comes from that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's the best feeling in the world. The best feeling, to feel really – I remember halfway through my beginning triathlon training and I was riding with one of my friends who's a good rider, and I just looked at her and I said, you know, I've always wanted to feel this fit.
Yeah.
And it's the most beautiful feeling.
Yeah.
It's just the clarity you have with your body, and, of course, being an executive, it just makes decision-making easier, your stamina's better, it's just and your family's better for it as well.
Mm.
The people around you are better for it. If you're well, they'll be well as well.
Yeah, and I look, without a doubt, I all of those points, and I just in a general level of happier acceptance. I work in an office a couple of days a week with people, and the ones that are regularly exercising, it's the totally different energy than the ones that aren't. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Get up, get out, get it done. When you're working, you have to do that. When you're working in a kind of fixed time mode, not from home.
As my listeners would know, or may know, that I still work as a general manager of sales for, you know, it's pretty good to have a 5-day fortnight doing that time of role.
Love
it. Jealous. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And plus my own business, my coaching business. But it's great. But it also gives you insight into that corporate world, that business world as well. And looking at, because that, I imagine that's where a lot of your clients come from.
Yeah, some of them do.
They're
being corporates. Most of them are working part-time.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing I was going to say, one of the other struggles for women over 50 is when they retire.
Mm.
So that lack of, you know, that structure can sometimes really put you off course. You know, you used to have to be at work by 8:30, so you got up at this and you did this and you did that. And once that goes, it's really interesting how easily you can be derailed. What I learned was I just had to put the structure back.
Right. Okay.
in some way, shape or form. You've just got to have a structure. You've got to have a routine to your morning, or, you know, a routine to your afternoon, or whatever it is that makes it happen for you.
Mm.
So that you still do, you know, you still look after yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
In some way.
No, that's a good point. A lot of people say, you know, they don't know how they fitted their work in when they retired.
True.
They get busy. But it just means a lot of the tasks they allow a lot more time for them, as opposed to when they're having to get them done a lot quicker. But
that's right. Waste a bit of time.
Yeah. That's
that's all right.
Nature, isn't it? Yeah, well, you've got time then. That's good. Now, I always ask my guests for some takeaway points. You know, that's I know the beauty of it is we cover a lot of topics and things of interest. Yep. But if, you know, a few takeaway points that people are listening to and go, right, this is going to change my life. there we go. That's not a big thing for you now.
Three things to change your life. Simple. I can do that. They're actually quite simple. So the first one really I would say is be kind to yourself and learn to love your body. And you know, as we've discussed, don't let your image be missing from your family's memories. Learn to love yourself and be kind. So don't beat yourself up if you had an extra cream cake over Christmas, for goodness sake. It's been done. If you're going to have a cream cake, enjoy it and move on.
And that's a good point too. That's my philosophy at my age. If I'm eating healthily 80% of the time, 90% of the time, then I don't want to begrudge myself things that I want. But if it's what we call a sometimes food.
That's right.
That's exactly what we teach the grandchildren. No, that's not a all the time food. That's a sometimes food. Then the food becomes special.
It is, and it tastes better.
Yes.
I tell you about my husband and his chocolate. He loves chocolate. He's a chocoholic. I can't even have chocolate buttons in my baking drawer.
Oh, really?
I get it. He is an absolute chocoholic. He's always been very skinny, so he's lucky. Yeah. But recently I was reading something, and all this information came up about, you know, child labour and slave labour and cocoa beans and all of this thing. So we made a decision that we would only eat free trade chocolate.
Right.
So two really good things out of that. Firstly, it's very expensive. So you can't just go and, you know, Cadbury's and get for $2. You can't do that because it's $8 for a very small block. And the second thing is, because it's so expensive and you can't buy it everywhere, it's hard to find, then you have it as a treat.
Yes.
And so we go and we buy free trade chocolate from Oxfam.
Right.
And he eats heaps of it. I'll have two or four blocks. That's it. I'm not a big chocolate person. And it's just gorgeous. And so it's kind of a thing, as you said, a thing for us to look forward to. We're going into, you know, the city, so let's go to Oxfam. Let's buy a couple of blocks of chocolate. We actually sat outside Oxfam the first time we found it and shared a block of chocolate. And people were looking at us and thought, this must look really strange. These two old folk sitting here eating a block of chocolate. But it was so beautiful. And it's changed us a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Just by making that decision. And Ray's lost weight. Mind you, he only has to think about losing weight. And he loses weight. He's lucky. But it just, you're right. Make it special and only eat really good things. Maybe transfer some of your value system to what you're eating. So, you know, that's why, I mean, I like to eat organic food. I like to know where it's come from. I'm not obsessive about it, and I will go and buy ordinary stuff, but I really care about that stuff now. And so that means that you eat good quality. You don't eat as much as you used to eat. I don't buy biscuits. If we want to have something, I make it myself, so I know what's in it. Got some great recipes for buttermilk muffins, so they're low cholesterol and all that stuff, and they've got fresh berries and, you know, but we still do that. Like yesterday I made some muffins. We haven't had muffins for ages, but I made some muffins and we ate a couple and I put the rest in the freezer and, you know, but I like them. But I know it's just, like you said, special. That's it's not right. Every day.
No, and when you can enjoy it then, so you can be kind to yourself then.
That's right. You might love it. Sit and enjoy it.
Absolutely, rather than that negative.
Just eating it because it's there.
So number one is be kind to yourself, yes, and love your body, and do not miss out on being in the family memories.
No, do not. No. And the second one is really being mindful about looking after yourself. And, you know, we just mentioned don't eat. Think about what you're doing. Don't eat mindlessly and plan for your own physical well-being. So what I always get my clients to do is we plan. Mostly what we do in our sessions once a week is we'll sit and plan. What are we doing for the week? What are you up to? What, you know, are there any special events you're going to? Do you want to modify your exercise around that? But I think thinking, being mindful about taking care of yourself. So being mindful about going for your walk, being mindful about what you're putting into your body, as we just talked about, just being present with yourself makes a huge difference. Thinking, just thinking, don't act mindlessly, just think.
My naturopath is also an exercise physiologist and a master of everything else. She's got lots of credentials. She's really brilliant, actually. She can do everything. But that's one of the things that she gets me to focus on my chewing.
Yes.
You're actually thinking about what you're doing. Yes, and that's definitely being mindful through every meal. I don't remember to do it, and I don't remember to do it very often, but sometimes it pops into my head and I'm thinking, Isabel's been in the back of my head.
Yeah, just mindful. Put your knife and fork down or your spoon and just enjoy the sensation of eating and of what you're eating. Because we often don't. And if you look, when you go out, you'll see lots of people who just shovel food in. Yeah, food is fuel, but be mindful about what you're doing. It will make a big difference. Even if you just do that, it'll make a big difference to your life.
Okay. And
the last one.
Right across the life, though, actually, too, not just food and exercise, but in everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, think before you speak, think before you eat. That'll filter.
And the third one
is just move. Doesn't matter what it is, just do it. Just get up and move and do more today than you did yesterday. It's quite simple. It sounds really simple, but it actually is. Just if you're thinking about taking care of yourself, then you think about actually need to move a little bit more. I need to walk to the door. I need to take those stairs or, you know, park a little bit further away. They're all things we know. It's just that we don't think to do them because we don't think.
No, and I mean we're based in Queensland, both of us, and the weather and summer
and shocking.
It has, but it's this opportunity to be in water and move. Then isn't it?
Oh yes, absolutely.
To be active as well. So.
Just get in the pool. I mean, the last week. I mean, I'm doing a 10K training program at the moment, and last week was Christmas. I was tired. I was hot, and I thought, no, I won't run. It's too hot. Even at 4:30, it's too hot. It's 29 degrees. So get in the pool, do 20 laps. Even just walk. I said to my husband, just get in the pool and walk up and down.
Yes,
it's just better than nothing. And walking in water is actually really, really good for you, particularly as you get older, because the water massages your body.
Yeah, I've actually got one of those aqua joggers, you know, the vest.
Get dumbbells, like a weight belt. They're great.
Well, they're not weight belts. They're meant to keep you afloat, but most women can float pretty well by themselves. They don't
But if you want to jog, I mean, water running is fantastic for you.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about being injured, I often get people to do this, particularly if they're overweight, you can get these little belts that you put on and then you can jog in the water. No weight bearing, but, oh, boy, does it give you a workout.
That's sort of what the aqua jogger does too. Throw some music on in the backyard and I get in there and do it.
Good.
It's fun as well. And it's good for rehab, which is, as you
said. Very good.
But it's just finding something that you are doing.
Go to the air conditioning.
And go and move.
When I did cardiac rehab, we used to encourage our patients to go to shopping centres. When it was too hot or too cold, just go to the shopping centre and walk around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually walking groups that do that.
There are now, it's a long time ago. We were the trendsetters in those days. Or go to the gym, turn the aircon on, do it in your front room, whatever. Just do something.
Yeah.
And there's so many online things. Like there are millions actually. millions on your phone, on your computer, on your iPad, millions of even 15-minute workouts, which we haven't covered. So that's the latest research for people over 50 is that the best way to keep fit is to do some high-intensity stuff two or three times a week. It's the best way to maintain and improve your fitness, much better than long, slow stuff. Mm-hmm. You need to do that twice a week.
I actually watched a story on the ABC a few weeks ago about eight-minute workouts.
Yeah.
And it was quite amazing the intensity that you have to reach on those workouts. It was very, very high. But the results that they had proven were quite amazing.
Even for older people, for people over 50, you can do that. Just start off slower. Mm. Because fitness is a progression.
Mm.
It's not an end point. And when you start to feel tired or it's hard, that's a really good sign because it means that your body's going to adapt and the next time you do it, you'll be able to push yourself a little bit harder. But, yeah, do some HIT. There's thousands of them on your phone. Just do it, even if you just start off doing it. I remember when I started a few years ago, I'd started this big program and I couldn't do at that time, I couldn't do push-ups on my toes. Like I could do six on my knees. And now I can, and just over gradually, I've got better and better and better. And it's the adaptation with being fit. And as I said, now I can do 40.
So everyone liked you up to this moment, Jennifer.
No, well, that's taken a long time.
That's right.
And I'm very focused on it. I'm very proud of that.
I'd be proud of it too. That's amazing.
The thing I really hate is those chin-up things. Even with those assisted machines, I am hopeless at chin-ups, absolutely hopeless. Remember when I first started doing side plank raises where you lie on your side and you lift your hips up? It was really good if you're a runner because it strengthens your core. And I couldn't do it. I simply couldn't do it. And I thought, oh, my God.
I can manage one or two of those. That's not my forte either.
You know, if you just start with just two and then in 2 days you do another two and then 2 days another two, then the next week you do three.
Yes.
You don't have to do 20 to start. Just start off with one or two. You'll soon get there. And I think that's the thing that I really love is I really love watching people start off being able to do one and then being able to do 10 because it's such an achievement.
And that's the point, isn't it? Just do something.
Yep. Just move yourself around.
Yeah. And once you get going, you'll set those goals for yourself to do more and just, as you said, do a little bit more each day.
That's right.
So what do you want people to do? You know, get in touch with you, buy your book.
So I'm in the final throes. I call it the death throes of my book, which has had the gestation of an elephant. I finished writing it at the beginning of last year and then I got this massive mental block. It was actually a confidence block really about, getting what I've written out there in the public. Anyway, we're on a roll and I've even got an illustrator and I've got 80 illustrations in my book.
That'll be helpful for us that need to.
It's fun.
And she's illustrating somebody over fit and fit. Beautiful.
Yes, we're not having skinny mini models.
I'll go back to the book and say something that popped up earlier. Is and that's really relevant to your illustrations in your book as well. I know when, years ago when I had the goal setting, I'd put the photo of this really sexy young woman on the fridge or, my vision board. But that's not realistic when you're over 50. That's a really, really good
point. Really hard to find really good pictures of fit and healthy older woman.
Mm.
It's really hard to find. I mean, Hollywood people are not good role models.
No.
Actresses, actors are not good role models because you just don't know how much work they've had done from the start. They usually have personal trainers that train them every day. Mm. Yeah, they look good, but, I just worry about that. But find somebody that looks really good, that's healthy, and just watch them,
Just sneak up and take a photo of them, stick there. That might be a bit odd.
But, but you could ask, I really love you. Can I take a picture of you?
But as you were saying, you know, you've had the illustrations put through the book. Now remind us what the title of the book will
be.
So
the title is, at the moment, Fit, Fab and 50 Plus, Your Guide to Living Actively for the Rest of Your Life. And it should be out in March, so final edit end of January, publishing in March, I would hope. But you can get in touch with me through my website, which is fit and 50 plus, which is, and the and is an N, .com.au.
Okay, so just want to spell all that out so that
it's, you know, the usual W's, and then fitnfiftyplus.com.au.
Okay, all right.
And I have a big Facebook group as well, so it's
about
2,000 people on there, and I usually post there, except for the last week, two or three times a day, and I'm on Twitter and on Instagram.
Okay, so it's Jennifer Gale, and it's Fit and 50 Plus. Look, Jennifer, I've really enjoyed our conversation this morning, sure it's going to be a lot of value for people just to get out there and get moving. And just get to feel good about yourself when you're doing so as well.
Yeah.
And just having that mindfulness when you, whatever you're doing.
Be mindful in your life. It will make a big difference. Amazing.
So thank you for your time this morning, Jennifer.
Thank you, Janine.
To reading your book.
Yes, me too.
Very exciting.
I will invite you to the launch, Janine.
Good. Yeah, I'll definitely be in that. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.